This is WHQR News. For almost 2 weeks, protesters have been out every day and night on the steps of Wilmington's City Hall. There have been signs, chants, and impassioned speeches. The crowd has been black and white and brown, young and old. Lily Nicole has been there almost the entire time. On the first night, she saw a void in leadership and felt that she could fill it.
Nobody else was, honestly, nobody else was. And I was worried about our community on Sunday afternoon, there was people saying that a bunch of students were trying to gather into a protest, but there was no official, like, leaders or community people behind it. Everyone was saying
that first Sunday night, May 31st, things did not go well. Police were called in wearing riot gear. In the nights since then, Lily and her colleagues have worked to change that. They've secured permits and have kept the peace.
I feel like our people who are gathering definitely get it. Definitely get it. Even the students, they have been holding it down during the daytime hours. Shout out to them. We've had high school students, college students, like, totally love the day control. And my nighttime crew, like, most of these guys have been going strong. Like I said, it's day six and, like, they're still here. So the community getting the message, I don't think, was ever the problem. It was literally the people in the doors that won't open that's the problem. But the community getting it, that was never the issue. They're living it. They totally get it. Even the white people, they get it. They see it.
A few nights into the demonstrations, Lily ended the evening by leading the crowd through 9 minutes of silence.
Tripling and tripling. Last night we shut down 3rd Street so we could do the last 9 moments of silence. And
the long silence represents the amount of time that a Minneapolis police officer had his knee on George Floyd's neck. Each minute, Nicole or another leader calls out a phrase that Floyd said in his last moments.
My neck hurts.
My neck hurts.
Everything hurts. I need some water.
I can't breathe.
Customers are now eating on Front Street, literally.
We'll be expanding our outside dining seating area by 4 additional tables. So.
Ellie Craig is with Front Street Brewery on Front Street.
So that's going to allow us to bring an additional server and an additional staff member on to clean each shift that we're open for outside dining.
Other restaurant owners agree. The move helps customers and gets restaurant workers back on the job. Again, Ellie Craig.
In this industry, it will really help a lot of us out. People like Beer Barrio up the street that are just doing outdoor seating right now, for them to be able to expand this out on the street will truly be monumental in terms of the revenue that they'll be able to bring in.
The program will be in effect Thursdays and Fridays from 5:30 p.m. to 10 p.m., Saturdays 9 a.m. to 10 p.m., and Sundays 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. Some streets are closed to vehicles. The on-street dining will continue every weekend through Labor Day. Vince Winkle, WHQR News.
A new marker unveiled Friday in Wilmington refers to the events of November 1898 as a coup and not a race riot, as other signs had in years past. The ceremony included reading the names of those known to have been killed on November 10th, 1898.
John Gregory.
The new marker is outside the Wilmington Light Infantry Building on Market Street. That's where a mob of white supremacists met and then marched to the city's African-American-owned newspaper, The Daily Record, in 1898. They burned it to the ground. State officials with the Highway Historical Marker Program decided such signage can no longer call the November events 121 years ago a riot, as African-American people weren't rioting. It was instead a massacre and the only successful coup d'etat in U.S. history.
Unfortunately, we always will have to educate people about our history so we don't make those problems again in the future.
New Hanover County NAACP President Deborah Dix Maxwell.
People need to understand where we've come from and understand that we are just highlighting this now because the descendants of 1898, the survivors could not talk about it. In 1910, who could talk about this as a black person? This is why in 2019 we're able to do these things.
At least 200 people attended the ceremony. The sign is at the corner of Market and Mike's,
gardening, tossing a frisbee, keeping their distance. Tonight, no one will be going out to dinner at a favorite restaurant or seeing the latest movie at the theater. For Marisol Sanchez and her three kids in Wilmington, things are going okay for now.
As of right now, today, things can change tomorrow. So there is an anxiety there. But as of today, I'm very, very grateful to say that the company I work for and the businesses that I run are all sustaining at current income. Again, that can change. And and I have to say thank you to all the essential workers that are out there making it happen for the rest of us.
She is very busy.
Well, I have three children, and they normally live with me. My youngest is currently at my ex-husband's home, so this is the longest I've gone without seeing her. So that's new, and I don't like that. I mean, I'm happy that she's safe and sound. And then I have my other two who are high school seniors. They're here with me all the time.
For her daughter, Heather, a senior in high school, online classes are underway, but not really.
Essentially, I think one girl asked a really poignant question when our teacher was explaining to us how the rest of the semester would work. So she was basically like, so we're going to be doing all these assignments you give us, even though none of them are going to count towards our actual grade. And my teacher was pretty much just like, yep, that's.
Royal Pest Solutions operates two facilities that are permitted to use the chemical in New Hanover County, on Burnett Boulevard and River Road in Wilmington. DEQ is proposing a rule that applies to these log fumigation facilities. It calls for a 90% capture and control of the chemical and to establish an acceptable ambient level range of no more than 0.005 milligrams per cubic meter. Dr. Robert Parr is an emergency medicine specialist in Wilmington and on the board of Clean Air Carolina.
The proposed regulations are scientifically sound. The Science Advisory Board has found that they are needed at this time to protect residents from low-level.
The North Carolina DEQ has approved Chemours' request to temporarily suspend off-site private well sampling work and filtration system installations based on current public health directives to reduce the spread of COVID-19. Chemours will continue to provide bottled water and sampling results to residents whose wells were tested prior to March 25th. In addition, residents near the Chemours facility who have already received results and are awaiting installation of filtration systems will receive bottled water until their system is installed. DEQ will monitor the situation and direct.
I think Oak Island is one of the best places you could ever live. We've kept our taxes low.
Jeff Weinkoff loves Oak Island. He's been here a long time. Today, he's mayor pro tem on the town council.
We wanted more development off the island on 211 in that part of the district of Oak Island, and we're starting to see that benefit and grow.
Oak Island, like most of Brunswick County, is growing, and it's growing fast. New houses along the beach, new businesses inland, all adding up to a growing tax base. That's a common theme for the entire county. Ann Hardy is county manager.
We are very busy. A lot of unique opportunities and a lot of challenges as well. It's more weighted into the residential at this time, but I think that the commercial's coming, and we're certainly taking efforts to recruit industrial as well. So I think it's just a matter of time before industry finds out how attractive our port is and the investments that have been made there, as well as the recruitment of our two mega sites to our industrial parks.
Residential means Leland, home construction. Just across the river from Wilmington, Leland is booming.
To say the least.
Leland senior planner Ashley Perosi.
So I have been working with the town for about 11 years, and it's always been busy, but the past few years have been quite phenomenal. The town continues to build a team of people around us that can handle the busyness of that, so that's great. But yeah, it's been a really exciting time to be here, to learn a lot and to see all of the changes that are taking place.
And it's hard work. Gary Vidmar is Leland's Economic and Community Development Director.
Well, it brings a number of challenges with respect to staffing requirements, with respect to infrastructure requirements, traffic.
The medical center, referred to by CEO John Gizdick as more of a healthcare system, is valued at $1.25 billion. If it is sold to a larger healthcare provider, they would be buying the properties, the buildings, and everything else in NHRMC. County Manager Chris Coudray.
New Hanover Regional Medical Center is the largest county-owned health system in the state of North Carolina and the third largest county-owned health system in the United States.
With 7,000 employees, such a deal would be a huge windfall for the county. Medical Center President John Gizdick says the time may be right as the organization is currently thriving.
And so some of the mergers and acquisitions you're seeing are a very different situation where they need somebody to come in and take them over so that they can actually survive. We're very fortunate.
Brunswick County shares its southwest border with South Carolina. Lisa Pokaluk, a single working mom with two children, lives just a few miles north of that border in the town of Shallotte. She is concerned that South Carolina's move to quickly return to normal puts others in the area at risk.
It does. I'm actually somebody who self-quarantined early. My dad's in hospice at home, and so he's 87, and you know, if any of us get it, it's done. You know, he's really going to be in bad shape.
She says North Carolina has done well so far during the pandemic.
You know, we are in a situation here in North Carolina. We've been pretty fortunate, especially in these rural coastal counties, where we haven't seen a lot of COVID activity. And I'd like to keep it that way. Now that we're on the verge of going into what would be our tourist season, it's very concerning for me for beaches to be open.
Mark Striner is standing at the robotic front end of an Orbitrap. It's a device in the lab that allows water samples to be processed automatically rather than manually by researchers. It speeds up the process, and it's the latest piece of technology. Striner is a physical scientist at the EPA and works entirely on water quality. Since we first spoke in 2017, his focus has remained on PFAS and Gen X. But he says that over the course of the 3 years, some things have surprised him.
I think some of the surprises for me were how rapidly change could come about through the interaction not only of, you know, myself and other regulatory agencies, state and federal. I think I called them people within the community that are engaged and with an industry that is also working together with us to sort of institute change. It's way better now than it was before as far as what we see in the river, and the concentrations have come down. And that was surprising to me how quickly it happened once sort of word got out and we all began working together.
Striner says despite the sense of mistrust between consumers, chemical companies, regulators, and utilities, he has seen progress.
Yeah, and that's part of it, right? You know, with the regulators working together with the industry to regulate and having an active community of people that's interested in this, it's a important topic. You know, the water that they drink and the water that we have out there around us is a resource that's extremely valuable. And when all of those people sort of have that common idea that we want to have a cleaner water supply, whether it be shutting off the source or, you know, treating that water so that the drinking water downstream is better for people, that's when things happened. And that was a surprise to me. how quickly it happened, I should say.
This week, President Trump released his proposed budget for the fiscal year 2021. It calls for a 26% cut of the